In studio we have Professor Mark Tomlinson, Co-Director, Institute of Life Course Health Research at Stellenbosch University and RX Radio board member. Mark was a part of the Children and COVID-19 Advocacy Briefs, which look at all the issues that have affected children due to the pandemic and the lockdown. Mark will be chatting today about the topic of how children's mental health has been affected during this time. Welcome to the show, Mark. How are you today?
Thanks very much. I'm very well.
Can you please tell us more about yourself?
I'm a clinical psychologist by training. But mostly I work in research now, so I'm based in the medical faculty at Stellenbosch University, and I do most of my research is around moms and children and dads and children, and then trying to understand how children and adolescents develop right across their lives.
It is said that children are lower at risk of COVID-19 infection. So why do you think it is important to look at how COVID-19 has affected children?
So I think it's incredibly important. So if you think about what the virus does, there's this direct way it infects people. So we know about that. So you get infected with the virus. And if you have comorbidities or if you've got a pre-existing health condition or something and you're older than 65, then you're at very, very high risk. But for reasons that we don't 100% understand, children seem to be less affected by that direct infection. But what we're trying to say in all these advocacy briefs and a lot of the work I do is that even though children aren't impacted very much by the direct effect of the virus, they're probably the most affected by the indirect effects. So for example, last March when schools and the whole country went into complete lockdown, there were thousands and thousands of school children who were about to start, grade 8 at new schools, who'd by the end of last year had kind of got into lovely groups of friends, and then all of a sudden now they were at home and not being able to interact with their friends. For hundreds of thousands of children in South Africa, they depend on school meals. So at least they have one nutritious meal a day because they're living in such extreme poverty. That stopped. And so there are all these indirect effects, which aren't the kinds of things often that people making decisions, maybe the government, who might be making very good decisions for lots of reasons, really take into account. Because one of the things that's difficult is that the effects of these things on children are going to be way into the future. If a young child was starting to do really well at school but had struggles, and then they lose a whole year of schooling, it's quite difficult for them to then get that back. These kinds of effects, you don't see that straight away like you do with an infection.
How has COVID and lockdown impacted children's mental health?
This is a very important and interesting question, because in some parts of the world it seems to have affected children much more than in other places. So one of the things that's been quite difficult to do research in this situation, because how do you, I do research, so what I do is I ask someone to be part of a study, I pick them up, I take them into our research site, and we give them tea and coffee, we interview them. In lockdown and in social distancing, that's been very difficult. So a lot of the research we would have done in other kinds of events haven't been done. So we don't know too much for sure. But we do know from research that's been done in places like England and other places that the levels of children's worries about things have been much greater. Many children, for example, in lockdown, going to school was quite a relief sometimes from a home situation, which is not always so good. And so it was lovely for them. And now all of a sudden they're stuck in a situation that they can't escape from. Mm-hmm. And so we're very concerned about mental health. We also know, though, and this is really important to say, is that particularly in South Africa, is South Africans generally, but South Africans' children and adolescents are actually quite resilient. We've been through lots. The country keeps going through lots of things. And so people are tough as well. And so, so what we're really interested in is not to panic about what might be happening, but rather say, what can we do to make families stronger to help children, for example, and a lot of other things, and not panic too much about what might be happening, because we don't know, but know that it's likely there is an effect, but let's see what we can do.
What long-term effects could this have for children?
A lot of this is guesswork. We don't know, but we can guess. As I said, children losing a year of schooling, that's it's not impossible to then get that back. And we need the Department of Basic Education and every person involved with schools, principals, teachers, children, adolescents need to work out how we make sure that children catch up. But that's going to have an effect. So, you know, South Africa is like one of the most unequal countries in the world. So that what we mean is that you've got incredibly poor people, but you've got this incredible gap to these incredibly rich people. And despite actually having, we're not rich like America or England, but in Africa, we're one of the richer countries. And yet our rates of children who aren't eating for long periods of time, and what happens when young children don't eat for a long time, for example, they get stunted. They get short. They don't grow as tall as they would otherwise. And we know that when children are stunted, that affects how they function at school. So we worried about that because, again, that's a long-term thing. You know, so we worried about all these long-term things of children not getting the grant that the government gave in the beginning, which was then taken away, and that luckily a great has now come back again, will help families at least be able to put some food on the table. It's not a lot of money. But those are the kinds of long-term things we're worrying about and trying to do things now about that, yeah.
What are the solutions for this problem of mental health, and how can we better support children moving forward?
There's lots of things, and the things we wrote in the document, there's lots of ideas in there about, and I hope they can be available for people to use. So for me, I believe one of the reasons I'm on the board of the radio station is I love the sort of the saying, by children for children. I actually think children and adolescents, they actually know a lot of the answers. And so part of the solution is for families, for government, for leaders to firstly just talk to children and listen to children. What do they think would help them? Because we actually don't do that often. Adults, I'm sure you know, you don't have to nod your head or anything. I don't want to get you into trouble. But, you know, most children will say, you know, teachers, parents, they kind of listen to me, but they don't really listen. You know, they kind of think they know better, that you know, I'm 10 or I'm 15, and what do I really know? I know better. And now, things with experience, you get more knowledge and things, but actually children, adolescents, you know, need to be listened to. So for example, there's lots of children in this country now who've a grandmother or a grandfather or even a parent now has died. We're not good in South Africa about talking to children about what happens when someone dies. We just think if you talk about it, then you keep reminding them and everyone must just get on with things. So we would say, no, talk to children. Find out how they're doing. Ask them about what it's like. Ask them what COVID's like. Talk to them about what's happening, you know, with not being able to go to school, what it feels like. So make sure parents create situations where you can talk to children, and more importantly, not talk just to them, but to listen to them and genuinely, deeply listen. So that's a thing. We think that grants is an important thing to try and improve people's capacities to eat and to get food. So that's a very, very important thing. What we would really like is we want children to be, what their long-term sort of development to be considered with every decision that's made. And so that when the government decides, for example, we're going to close schools, is that the best thing to do right now for children? If the teachers are vaccinated, surely then the risk is very low. And we know that the risk of closing schools is quite high. So then should we not keep them open for a while and maybe close other things? But we want children to be really part of this, like the center of these decisions.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Not really. Thanks for the opportunity and well done again. And that was a brilliant interview. So yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much for joining me in the studio.
You are listening to RX Radio.
For and by children.
RX Radio. RX Radio rocks.